Adele James, and here is the unfiltered version of the story.
Hi, you guys. I'm back, at least for this episode. pigs cannot yet fly. However, I am back. I feel like I promised you this episode quite some time ago, and for lots of reasons, I just haven't been able to sit down and do it. I just haven't been able to get it out of me. But here it is. Here I am. It feels so good to just speak, you know, and I hope there's going to be lots of yummy, helpful things in here for you this episode. I've got my little book back, my tiny little book, with my notes for today. Really, they're just very like, there's literally like one tiny page of notes. So I'll set the scene first of all, as I always used to. I am in my office, which is where I do so much of my work. It's where I run my coaching business in the room from. And it's where I spend a lot of time decompressing, thinking, strategizing for my own career and moving forward, is where I record my self-tapes. Here we are. This is the office. Welcome. The present moment for me is actually really good. It's really, really good. I feel like I'm in a really good place in my life. As you well know, or you may know, or if you don't know, you can certainly go back and find out. The last couple of years especially were very like turbulent for me, and I feel now like I'm in a place where I just am happy. I'm content, I'm at peace. Obviously I still have ambition and there's still places that I want to go that I'm not already, but I feel really good about where I am and I feel excited about the future. So that's the present moment for me. It's not always been that way. It won't always be that way, but right now it is, and I value that. But I do wonder, how is the present moment for you? What is going on for you? How are things for you? How is your life? How are you looking after and honoring yourself? What's the present moment for you? Now, this episode is titled Overnight Success. I've wanted to do this episode ever since Cleo came out earlier this year. This has been an experience like one I've never had before. The experience of being all over the international press, of still being on a streaming service that means that people can access my work literally whenever they want. I get messages even now, 6 months, 7 months down the line, from people to say that they've just watched all four episodes of the documentary and that they, really love it and sharing their kind of thoughts and love with me. And that's bizarre, really. That's really, really odd. You know, for me, it happened. It's happened. It was a while ago, but for so many people, it's happening just for the first time, and that's a new experience for me. So, this is called overnight success, because overnight success doesn't exist. I mean, it's not a thing, but there is certainly a level of exposure that can be gained very quickly. And I've wanted to talk about it, but I haven't honestly been able to articulate it quite succinctly enough, maybe, and perhaps I still won't be able to. I haven't practiced what I'm going to say, so I'm also maybe a bit nervous about what I might say. But I haven't really sat down and felt confident that I could talk on this until now. And you know, again, that's a very multifaceted thing. There are lots of reasons for that. It was very complex and a nuanced situation. The way in which my face became so prevalent in the international press, the reasons for which it did, you know, that's all very complicated and nuanced and in some ways very painful for me even still. But, you know, ultimately, I want to serve and I want to help you figure out how to navigate the industry for yourself. And should you gain a lot of exposure, it will likely happen quite quickly, even though the work happens over decades. And so, you know, maybe this will provide some comfort for you as you move towards that and perhaps when you even get there. So my first outtake is that overnight success is a myth. What did I write here? Oh, the timeline, of course. So overnight success is absolutely a myth. So I've spoken about this before, but the timeline for Queen Cleopatra, for example, I got that job. I auditioned for that job over a 4-month period from the end of 2021 into the early part of 2022. I got the job 2 days before I had to fly to Morocco to shoot for 5 weeks. And then nothing. We didn't know when it was coming out, if it was coming out, for around a year. And there was some kind of whispers that we might come out here or they might put season one first, because originally we were going to be the first season of the show, and then they swapped them to put Queen Jingo first, which I think was a beautiful, wonderful move. And I absolutely love and adore the first season, particularly Adesua. Her performance as Queen Jingo is absolutely stunning and just, yeah, one of the strongest performances I've ever seen of anything. I just think she is so powerful and wonderful and deserves all of the accolades and recognition for her work there. But, you know, so we went from thinking that we were going to come out, you know, maybe later that year, to then knowing that the other season was going to come out, you know, ahead of ours, which meant we didn't know when ours was coming out, but we certainly knew it wouldn't be the first one. And then, it just felt like the dates, potential dates were getting further and further in the distance. And honestly, a part of me thought I had to resign myself, I felt for self, you know, as a means of self-preservation, to the fact that it might not come out. Like, it just might not come. It happens all the time. Things don't come out, things get made, they get edited, and they don't come out. So that's where I'd kind of got to in my mind. And then I got an email 24 hours before they were going to release the trailer worldwide for this show. And I actually recorded something that night. Because I suspected, that things might be very different for me once that happened. I wasn't quite prepared for the level of it or the scale of it or the nature of it to be so extreme, but I felt like I was, for me personally and in terms of my career, definitely I was on the precipice of something. So I record a little something and I'll play it for you now.
I'm really trying to like process the anticipation of something like this. Like, it's really bizarre. It's the first time it's ever happened in my life and my career. And it just feels really odd, like the idea that my work might be seen on such a big scale around the world. And okay, maybe it's not like the biggest show anyone could ever do, but like the racial precedent of it and what it means for me in my career, that's massive. It's really big. It feels like crossing a bridge that I've thought about crossing for many, 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 many years. And I feel like there's going to be a level of attention on my work, which is really scary. you know, that I've never had before, which is really scary. I think Casualty was one thing, and being on a series regular on, I think being a series regular on the BBC is one thing. But this feels like something quite different. I mean, I don't know, we'll see. Maybe tomorrow will just be like any other day. I feel like, apart from my inner circle ringing off my phone, maybe it just won't be that big a deal. But it feels like it is a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal for me, and I suppose that's all that really matters. But it's weird. I feel like I've been holding on to this for so long. I mean, it was literally this time last year that I was on my second week of filming, and it's about to be released. Well, just the press release. I've still got to wait for the actual release. Still a month to go, but it's crazy the way that this is built until then, all the kind of hype that's been building amongst those of us who know, which aren't many of us, and now all of a sudden it'll just be out there in the world that people know about, and people will soon be able to watch it, and it's just it's a lot to get my head around. And I'm excited, I'm really excited, but I am also quite terrified. Maybe there was a comfort in knowing or feeling like perhaps it wasn't going to come out. Maybe there was a bit of a comfort in that. If I'm being 100% honest, I remember being proud of my work, but I can't remember why. And I'm scared that it's not going to be up to scratch or standard, and that of the people that were involved in it, that maybe there's this expectation of it that we can't live up to. I don't know, maybe I'm just rambling, I'm tired, but I am excited. I'm really excited to be able to know that it's real, that it did happen, it wasn't a fever dream, and we get to share it with the world, and we get to make history in a big kind of way. It's really exciting. It's really exciting, and it's an honour that is not lost on me at all, at all. It's literally a bucket list job for me. Like, it's top, probably. Yeah, it's top of the list of roles that I would love to play. And oddly, I've always felt a real affinity towards this particular role as well, this character, this person. So I don't know what that says, but maybe nothing. Maybe it's just me being me, you know. Woo-woo. Spiritual. But I am really excited. May 10th, here we go. Here we go. I can't believe people are going to just know about it tomorrow. That is mad. Anyway, right, I'm repeating myself. I'm going.
So, yeah, that was the night before the trailer dropped. And that 1 minute trailer threw the world into a tailspin. And for about 2 months after that, I had a really, really difficult time on social media, and, you know, just being really very, very exposed in the press. You know, every publication you can think of was reporting or regurgitating reports about some of the less favorable reactions to that 1 minute trailer. Most people, I think, were just really excited and happy, or truly didn't care. but some people had a very strong reaction to it. And, you know, as the lead of that show, I took a lot of that on my little shoulders. But it was something that affected the whole cast and crew. It was something that affected all of us. There was this level of overnight exposure that all of us suddenly became subject to, which, you know, is both positive and challenging at the same time. I think the two things can exist at once. But the reason why I think overnight success is largely a myth is because it's not that I suddenly became known as an actress, right? I've been working for however long. I've been working on my career for however long. This job is the culmination of all these little things that I have been doing over the years. It's the culmination of me having built up towards this job over the years. I couldn't have done this job if it wasn't for the short films that paid expenses only and the short films that never saw the light of day and the TV pilot that never saw the light of day and, you know, all the jobs I've done on theatre, the profit shares and the understudy role that I did. And, you know, it's really the culmination of everything I've poured my blood, sweat and tears into, all of my passion as an artist and my growth as a human being. And I think overnight success is a myth, but overnight exposure is very real. And it's a very complicated thing to navigate. And not everyone's experience will be my experience either. Not everybody will be subject to trolling and racism, you know, racist abuse. And a lot of people kept saying to me at the time, and it was a bit hard to hear at the time, if I'm being honest, but a lot of people kept saying to me, you know, when you're exposed to that much darkness, it's because you're exposed to so much light. Or, you know, words to that kind of effect. When you're exposed to that much negativity, it's because you're working on a level that is so high and so exposed that naturally with light there comes shade, right? With good there comes bad, etc., etc. There's kind of balance in all things. So it was a really interesting experience for me to experience that level of overnight exposure. And, you know, I wouldn't describe it necessarily as a pleasant one or one that I'm particularly looking forward to going through again, although I do hope that I continue to make work that has high levels of exposure, that does move people, does challenge people, does make people think, does make people ask questions, does make people talk. I do want to be that force for change, that force for good that I think is my duty as an artist. But yeah, all of that said to say, overnight success, we don't know her. We don't know her. She's not real. Success is a byproduct of work, perseverance, belief, faith. You know, it really is a culmination of so many factors. And I think that to discredit anybody's, and this is, I'm not saying any of this because anybody has called me an overnight success even, but I know that it can sometimes be perceived that, you know, one day you're nowhere and then all of a sudden you're everywhere, and it feels like, you know, and people particularly talk in like the media and stuff about, you know, actors and in this way all the time, or like directors or whoever it is all the time, where they're like, yeah, the next big thing, the newest hot da, 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 da. And I just think it fails to really recognize the sheer amount of work that has gone into what we see as this big boom in exposure. I think it really fails to account for and credit to those people the amount of work. And so if you are kind of getting to a place where you are about to experience some like overnight exposure, or you have just experienced that, I just want to validate that, you know, you've been out here, you've been working. It's very irregular that people just suddenly blow out of drama school, or just, you know, their first acting job is, you know, it sends them to the Oscars. It's not impossible, but it's most people's story is that of a lot of work and faith and fear and doubt. And I'm not sure if this is right for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, but I'm just going to keep plowing through and I'm going to keep hoping. If I take one step after another step after another step after another step, that eventually I'm going to get there. Right. So yeah, that's just to validate you, if that is you, or something that you're about to experience, or something that you will experience later down the line. That's just to validate you and to remind you that, you know, if you do keep putting in that work, I do believe that the exposure will come. I do believe the recognition will come. I do believe that you will be rewarded for your perseverance. And we have to maybe wait different, you know, varying amounts of time based on who we are and what is being made in the world and all those good things. But I do believe that success is a reward for all of those other things. My second outtake today, what did I write here? What is a working actor? A working actor, I think we really need to be much clearer about this distinction. And it's something I think about all the time. It's something I've spoken about a lot, but I just want to clear up what I believe it is once and for all. A working actor is not somebody who is in work all the time. It's not somebody who's in work all the time. A working actor is somebody who is always working towards their career. And when I say always, I mean also taking rest and taking break the way that, you know, any athlete, any body in any profession needs to do in order to grow. Like, you need to give your brain and your body time to heal and rest, right? To be totally transparent with you, the biggest job I had booked a few years ago was casualty. So I did that job for just over a year because of the pandemic. My contract was for a year. I was a series regular on that TV show. I had a fantastic storyline, very, very gripping. I left on a big high. And then I did not work for 10 months as an actor. I didn't have a single acting job for 10 months outside of like a bit of role play that I was doing to make some money on the side. Then I booked Cleopatra. And I went off to Morocco. I shot the series over a month. I stayed in Morocco for an extra week or so. I came back. I didn't book a job for a couple of months. And then I ended up doing The Importance of Being Earnest, which was a UK tour, which was so gorgeous and wonderful. And then I didn't work for 10 months. So I have just come out of a dry spell of 10 months. Only a couple of months ago, I booked a feature film that I rehearsed over the summer and shot over the beginning of September. And that was after a period of not working for 10 months. Now, the reason most people would be surprised by that, I think, is because so much of this year has been taken up by the exposure that I've been given because of the release of Cleo. So when I tell you the journey is like this, I'm not joking, yeah? And a part of the reason I think for that is, for me, certainly these days, is because I am much more discerning about the work that I take on, but it's also because I spent a lot of the last 10 months with an agent that wasn't right for me and making excuses about why I should stay because I'd been with this person for 5 years come this year. And I really wanted it to work, you know, I really wanted it. It sounds like a romantic relationship, right? I often compare agent relationships to romantic partnerships because I feel like we can be blind. We can have the same kind of blind spots when it comes to agents as we do when it comes to romantic relationships, because we just want to be loved. We just want to be accepted. We just want to be believed in. We just want someone to want the best for us as much as we want the best for us and to make all of our dreams come true. And the reality is that this person wasn't as invested in me as perhaps they once were, and the relationship wasn't professionally viable anymore, and it hadn't been for a while. And so for a period of time, I wasn't getting auditions, even though my face was everywhere. I was doing great work. I always get good feedback in auditions, and generally have found a really good come to a really good place with how I audition. But I wasn't really getting them. My agent wasn't able to get me in the rooms, really. And so that was definitely a factor for a period of time. But also, you know, honestly, it's just the way it goes sometimes. I have to be more discerning about the work that I take, and I want to be more discerning about the work that I take. I don't want to scratch the itch as an actor. I want to take jobs strategically and intentionally based on what I want to do. I want to take jobs that light me up, that excite me. That doesn't mean that they all have to be a lead in the next big thing. But I want to do things that I'm excited to turn up and work on, that I'm excited to do the prep for, that I'm excited to promote and to be a part of and proud to be a part of. And so, you know, don't be fooled by what you see. Don't get sucked into this idea that of what success might mean for somebody. You know, quote unquote, we all have different ideas of what success means to us anyway, but you know, just because you see me doing a show or you see someone off at the Fringe or you see someone, you know, whatever, their TV show's just come out, or their film has just come out, like you don't know how, what the journey has been for that person. And I think that's really important to remember. And if you think about any of the jobs that you've done, if you have done work already, so if you're not totally new to the industry, if you think about any job that you have done, or the, you know, the difference in timelines between the jobs that you've done in terms of like getting the job, rehearsing the job, making the project, and then it being released if it's for screen or, you know, whatever, for theatre, and or the gaps between work, like there isn't a normal amount of time in the year to be working. I think at this stage, I am now looking ahead at being pretty much booked up until the middle of next year, which is absolutely mind-boggling to me. Like that is the only time I've had that before now as an actor, was when I was on Casualty, because I had a year-long contract, which was the most exciting and also terrifying thing in the world, because I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how to commit to something for a whole year. I feel like a very non-committal person when it comes to acting. I like to bounce between things, you know, I don't like to be in the same place for too long. So that was an interesting thing to be looking ahead at. And now I'm booked up on different projects until the middle of next year, which is such a blessing. It's a place I've always wanted to get to in my career. But I also know that I might come out of all of that work and not work for 10 months. You know, it's just, there's no telling really. It really does feel sometimes like you're so hot and then you're not. And this is where I think, you know, making your own work can be really fruitful and important, to keep you creative and, to stop you feeling like you want to scratch the itch with things that don't really move the needle forward and don't mean something to you. But it's also where I think it's important to have conversations about in what other ways you can be working towards your career. Yeah, the admin that you can be doing, the networking that you can be doing, the conversations you can be having with your agent, the classes that you can be going to, the skills that you can be learning, the real material that you can be updating, the headshots that you can be updating, the audit of your CV that you could be doing. Working towards your career makes you just as much of a working actor as being booked until next year. Yeah, working towards your career is what will get you booked until whatever time, is what will get you those little incremental jobs that make up your portfolio over time. It's not about being constantly in work. That's not, I define myself as a working actor every single day, whether I'm going to my cousin's engagement party or spending the day with my mum and my siblings and having a roast with them, or you know, on a set or in a rehearsal room or on holiday. I'm always a working actor. I'm always working towards my career. It's always my top priority, professionally speaking. And that's what makes me a working actor, not whether or not I'm constantly on a job. You know, but allowing myself to have a life within that is very, very important. It's very, very important. Being a working actor doesn't mean working on my job all the time. Nobody does that. That's not healthy and not sustainable. You know, no one in any profession does that. Now, we probably work on our careers on average more than most people, but that still doesn't mean we need to spend every waking hour of every waking day doing that. You know, you're a human being, you have a life to live, you, and all of that life that you do live makes you a better actor. I say it time and time and time again. Everything you can do to pour into the fullness of your life makes you a great actor, gives you the experience that you need to bring yourself to the level of whatever character it is that you are going to play next. Everything has value. Everything has use. I have found so many times that the tiniest things, that you know, core memories and little things like that have had such profound impact on something that I've needed for a role, or the rest that I've given myself by going on a holiday, you know, or taking a few days away from, you know, working on my wish list of contacts that I want to reach out to as an actor, that has given me the brain space to actually be able to work more efficiently and effectively when I do come back to the work, and to not be burnt out by it and over it, you know, to still have passion for it and be excited by it. So what does it mean to be a working actor? I think it means to be consistently working towards your career, not to be consistently in work. Although if you are, good for you. Like, great. I'm so gassed for you. But you're a working actor when you're auditioning. You're a working actor when you're not auditioning. You know, if you're doing things that push you towards getting more auditions, I would say that makes you a working actor. So just hold your head up high and let this be your signal to leave yourself alone. Please just leave yourself alone. You're doing really well. Okay. All right, my third outtake is that part of the work is releasing what you need to release to create the space for yourself to be well, be healthy, to grow, and therefore to thrive. And that means also your career to thrive, right? And I think this is something I'm trying to speak on a lot at the moment, because I think, you know, with the pandemic having passed and the strikes mostly having passed, we've been in a real period of like introspection and reflection. And, you know, like for me personally, I've experienced a lot of loss over the last couple of years, relationship, my agent, former agent, lots of things, all these versions of myself and my life that I thought I was working towards, these like identities that I'd really, really held on to, as an actor, as a person, even. It was actually in the embracing of it when I was able to do that, that I created space for other things to blossom. A new agent relationship that is so fruitful and so much better for me and more aligned with who I am now and who I want to be going forward. You know, outdated ideas about what it means to be a working actor and whether or not I should be making all my money from acting, or whether or not it's okay for me to have a part-time job or whatever, you know, to make money in other ways. All of the things that I've released that felt like a loss were actually ways that I created the space for me to be able to grow, get better, and enjoy the things that I said I wanted. They weren't able to blossom. They weren't able to exist even within the confines of the life that I had had previously. I saw this meme earlier today that said if January me would lose their mind if they knew what 2023 was going to be for them, if they knew what this year was going to be for them. And honestly, when I think back to being in Spain at the beginning of this year and what I hoped this year would be and what it's actually turned out to be, I mean, yeah, where do I even begin? It's been crazy. But, you know, sometimes you have to shed versions of yourself and people and situations and ideas in order to really have the things that you want. And if you want something and the things that you're doing in your life and the things that you have in your life are not conducive to you actually having that thing, then that's where you need to start. That's where you need to start. That's where different choices need to be made. And I don't know, I felt that that was necessary to say today. And I hope that provides some comfort to somebody. I think you have a lot more control over your happiness and your life and your career than you often will think that you do. And even me, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, whether or not I can really, I doubt myself, I guess what I'm trying to say. But then I come back to that thought, which is, I've got a choice here. And which way am I going to go? You know, am I going to do the same thing that I've always done? Am I going to lean into that doubt? Am I going to possibly block or stifle the opportunity for growth here? Or am I going to create the space emotionally and mentally, as well as maybe physically, to embrace this opportunity, to embrace whatever is the lesson that is here, and move forward and maybe, you know, open a door that I didn't even know existed. As always, I just want to finish with a little bit of self-care. So my self-care intention at the moment is Kel Surprise. I'm going back into yoga. I'm going to do a 30-day challenge of Adrienne's on YouTube. So I'm going to do the one that she released this year, which is called Center. And I've already done a couple of days of it and I'm already feeling more centered. But I really want to have like a daily practice that is just my own, where I can spend a bit of time with myself, breathing, meditating, thinking, just being in my body. And what is your self-care intention, I wonder? What are you going to be doing to look after yourself for the foreseeable future? How are you going to honor and love yourself in this crazy industry and, you know, navigating this very complicated, sometimes very violent, confusing and strange reality and world that we live in? You know, the world is so beautiful and it's also so scary at the same time. So, and that's outside of, you know, way outside of being an actor, but the industry as well can be very consuming. So how are you looking after yourself? How are you making sure that you honor yourself? I'd love if you reached out and, you know, let me know if this episode has helped you and if you'd like to see more. I'm not sure yet what this really means for the future of the podcast, if there will be more. I just felt really compelled to speak to you at long last and deliver the episode that I promised months ago. And, you know, I just thank you for your time. It really means so much that you would give that to me, and that I really do hope that it has not been in vain for you. And I look forward to hopefully speaking to you again very soon. In the meantime, big up yourself one time. You are doing amazing. And whether or not you can truly believe that, I want you to hear it from me. You are doing amazingly well. To get up every day and keep going and keep going and keep going is a feat unto itself. So I am sending you all the love and all the well wishes. And I really hope that this next season of your life is prosperous, booked, and busy. Well, take care.